This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Our next guest provides health guidance to agencies all around Wisconsin. Dr. Jasmine Zapata is the new Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. She's also a physician specializing in pediatrics and preventative medicine. Dr. Zapata, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here.
You are a physician, a newborn hospitalist. What are your goals in this new role as Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist?
The vision of Wisconsin DHS is for everyone to live their best life, and I just love that. My goals are to do just that in all that I do and all the medical and public health consultation that I provide. Another focus of mine will definitely be on community healing. We have been through so much. People across Wisconsin have been through so much over this last year. And as we are finding hope and finding a solution and getting near the end of this pandemic, healing both physically and mentally, social and emotionally, spiritually, financially, that will all be important. So one of my big focus will be on community healing. Also, I love meeting people, so I've been having a lot of internal meetings with others in my bureau and department, and also with others across the state and in the community. So I'm very excited about that. And more specifically, I'll be focusing on bringing awareness to many of the amazing programs within the Bureau of Community Health Promotion within DHS, and also focusing a lot on combating racial inequities in maternal child health.
You mentioned you like meeting people and you are meeting with people. How do you balance, thinking about this from a medical perspective with your background and expertise and also really hearing people?
That is a great question. I think that it's so important just to have a conversation. A lot of times, from my personal experience as a medical doctor, it's a profession that is very highly regarded, and that's great. So sometimes when we come in a room, people might be nervous to talk or think there's a big divide, but there's really not. And so I just love listening and having a conversation. And the way that I approach my patients from as a physician is the same way I approach my community and I approach public health. Instead of someone just coming in and telling you what to do and having thoughts for you, it really should be a conversation where we're collectively working together to help you reach the best outcome for your health and for your life.
Dr. Jasmine Zapata is the new Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Community Health for Wisconsin. We're talking about her goals in this role, and we're taking your questions. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Dr. Zapata? What do you want to share with her to help her understand what you're dealing with at this point in your life and in your community? What do you see when it comes to disparities or places where the state could help? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send that question or your story to ideas@wpr.org if you prefer email. Dr. Zapata, part of your new role is being the primary medical liaison with federal officials and state officials and local agency and organizations. That seems like quite a task. What does that entail for you?
Yes, that entails taking my public health expertise and experience and really bringing the voice from the community and from my experience to help policymakers and decision makers and people who are overseeing important public health operations, help and consult them make the best decision using sound public health practice. So that is what I'll be doing. And I'm just so excited about it. It really is just speaking up for what I believe is right.
That's also a pretty big challenge, at least when it comes to vaccines. You know, we have about 46% of Wisconsinites who've gotten at least the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. But that means about half of the people in our state have not done that. So how are you going to contribute to the efforts to get Wisconsin vaccinated? Or is that a priority for you?
Yes, it's definitely a priority. We know that the vaccines are safe and effective, and we're very proud that we have reached that number of Wisconsinites who have at least received their first vaccine dose. We know that there still is vaccine hesitance, and we need to continue having conversations. That definitely is a priority for me. There are some people who knew immediately that they wanted to get it, and there's others who are still questioning and still have reservations. And that's okay. We need to just continue having conversations to help people get accurate information and talk through whatever hesitations that they have. In my personal experience, that has been very helpful to take the same approach that I use as a medical doctor when we're helping patients decide on if they're going to get a procedure or not, or start a new medication. Having an informed consent conversation where we talk about the risk and benefits of whatever that intervention is going to be. And we also talk about what it would look like if they don't get it. And then after hearing their questions or concerns and talking to them, helping them make the best decision for their health. So it's so important to continue to have these conversations. It's also important, and another priority of mine, it's important that when we are talking about the issue of vaccine hesitance, especially among communities of color, which we see some disparities in our vaccine uptake rates right now, it's important to have trusted messengers within the community to continue having these conversations. Over the last year, I've been involved in this a lot, and I plan to continue to be going into churches and at different community events and getting invited into businesses to talk about the vaccine, talk about any questions or hesitations that people have. Also, something I'm very excited about and a priority of mine will be to continue to spread the word about this is that DHS was able to recently give $6.2 million to over 100 community organizations to help facilitate these community conversations. So I'm so excited. I'll be participating in some of those conversations, and that definitely would be a priority. So I'm excited for where we are at, and we still have some work to do, but I'm hopeful.
You talk about those disparities, and they're reflected even in the basic numbers. You know, we talked about almost half of Wisconsinites having been vaccinated, and only 22% of our Black Wisconsinites have. Why is there a gap there?
That's a great question. And you can't bring me on a 30-minute show to talk about that. I need a whole day, a whole week. But however, what I will say is that it is definitely multifactorial. This is very complex conversation to talk about. What I will say is that we did not get into this situation overnight of all these inequities, and it's not going to be something that we can undo overnight as well. It's going to take time, and that's okay, but we're going to just keep being vigilant about it. Just for many historical reasons in our country, there have been reasons that there has been a lack of trust between certain communities of color and the healthcare and public health systems. And again, those things that have happened are serious events, and we can't just snap our fingers and undo that harm that occurred overnight. So we need to do a lot of work to repair that trust. In addition to that, it's been more than just a lack of trust. There have been access issues and then just systemic inequities in our state have contributed as well. And again, those are the reasons for many of the initiatives that we're seeing take place right now to make sure that there's equal access for everyone.
And what, you know, in this role, what are you able to do? What efforts are there underway in the state to try to remove some of those inequities or bridge that gap?
Great question. One of the things that I mentioned earlier, I'm very excited about. It was a grant that DHS gave, and it was just recently. And it was $6.2 million that got distributed to over 100 community organizations to have trusted messengers within the community facilitate conversations about COVID, how to protect yourself against COVID-19. Also about, they will be working on how to eliminate some of the barriers that certain communities have experienced. So I am so excited about that. That is a way to help bridge the gap. Also, there's a vaccine matching program that DHS recently started doing as well, which is amazing because any community-based organization or any local organization that wants to provide the vaccine on site, they are helping to pair them with vaccinators. And that in and of itself is pretty amazing for those who want to get the vaccine in a place that they feel more comfortable. There are a lot of people who feel very comfortable getting at their own healthcare provider, but there are others who prefer to get it at a community-based site.
You've talked a couple of times about money from the state to organizations to help facilitate conversations. And I can imagine some people might say, why are we spending money to talk about this? Why is this the best way to convince people or help people health-wise is to schedule time to discuss it? Tell us more about that relationship and why those connections play into public health.
Great question. Again, I'll talk about some stories with me as a physician that it really informs my understanding of public health and how that works. So if we're living in a historic time. It hasn't been for 100 years since we've been in a pandemic of this magnitude, where there are people dying like never before, economic devastations. There's just so much going on, and there are people that are scared in this time. And so there, for some, it's very easy to just hear the medicine and public health establishments say, take this vaccine, it's safe and effective and we trust it. But there are some people who are hesitant and for various reasons. And one of the things that will drive, in my personal opinion, one of the things that will drive those people who still have questions, will drive them away even more, is if we cast blame or shame or just tell them what to do. Some people really value having conversations so that they can process their feelings, gather correct information, talk about any myths they may have heard or things that may give them pause or caution, and just be a listening ear and have that conversation with them. In my personal experience, I've talked with people who were 100% against it, but after multiple conversations with me over time, just listening to them, letting them know, even if you don't want to make the decision now, I'll be here next week to talk about it as well. I just want to hear your reservations and let's continue this conversation. There were many people that ended up getting the vaccine after that approach. So that's why it's so important. This is a very tough time, and we need to respect everyone's decisions and just be there to help them make the right choice.
We are talking with Dr. Jasmine Zapata about her new role as Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Community Health in Wisconsin. There's room for you in this conversation here on the Ideas Network. You can call 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about getting the COVID-19 vaccine? Were you hesitant? Do you have friends and family who are? What do you want Dr. Zapata to know about the life that you live? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. I'm Keely Boltina. This conversation continues here on The Morning Show. Dr. Jasmine Zapata is with us here on The Morning Show. She's talking about health issues facing people in Wisconsin, including the pandemic and racial disparities. I'm Keely Boltina. Thanks for being with us on the Ideas Network. Dr. Zapata is our state's chief medical officer and state epidemiologist for community health. That's within the Department of Health Services. What questions do you have for Dr. Zapata? What do you want her to know about your life? Call 800-642-1234, just like Craig from Stevens Point did. Hi, Craig.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Zapata, Kate, good morning. I have a question about the cost of the vaccine or the vaccine administration. My understanding has been, and I've heard this even on public radio, that these vaccinations for COVID are free to anyone who wants them. I am happy to be vaccinated, as is several of my family. At my local pharmacy yesterday, I was advised that veterans through a certain major prescription chain are being charged $40 copays for the vaccine. And one of my family members who got the vaccine at the UW Stevens Point, the Johnson & Johnson, received recently an $89 administration of the shot fee as a copay through her insurance. Can you explain the costs of the vaccination and why they are not truly free?
Greg, thank you so much for that question. Dr. Zapata.
Yes, thank you for that question. The vaccines are free. They should be free to you. And so if you do get charged or any cost, make sure to call back that agency and let them know. There will be certain times where insurance is charged for things, but it shouldn't trickle down to individuals having to pay. So if that does happen, I do know there have been some errors at times or mistakes where people accidentally got bills, but you should not have to pay. There are places that you can go and you should not have to pay anything at all. In cases, they will bill your insurance, but again, it should not have to come directly to you. You should be able to get it at no cost.
And so what happens, right, if Craig or a family member calls back and they say, hey, the bill is there? I mean, what do you do after you've got the bill and if you don't make headway with a private company?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times there are people that you can call to dispute that charge. So sure. There's so much going on right now. There are so many people getting the vaccine. And so there are going to be some errors or things that slip through the cracks, but just continue calling to dispute. But they definitely should be free and it should not be any cost to you at all.
All right. Craig, thanks for bringing that up. That is a challenge for people, and we appreciate you talking about that. Jessica in Colgate also is ready to join our conversation. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, good morning. I have some family members who have had COVID, and they're reluctant to get the vaccine because they think they're still protected. This was back in January. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts for them.
Yes. Great question. I'll tell my personal story. I also had COVID back in November of last year, and I did get the vaccine. After that, I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And what our data is showing is that, yes, you are offered protection after you have a natural infection with COVID-19, but we don't know exactly how long that protection lasts. And over time, we do know that immunity can wane. So there's still a lot of studies determining exactly how long that protection lasts, but it's unknown. What we do know is that when you do get the vaccine, you do get a robust amount of immunity and protection. And we know that is longer lasting. There's still a lot of studies looking into this, but we definitely still recommend that you get the COVID-19 vaccine, even if you've had a natural infection with COVID-19.
Jessica, thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. Dr. Jasmine Zapata is the new chief medical officer and state epidemiologist for community health with Wisconsin's DHS. She's also a physician specializing in pediatrics and preventative medicine. You're listening to this conversation on the Ideas Network. Dr. Zapata, you talked about racial disparities when it comes specifically to COVID-19, but you have a background in pediatrics. We know that another racial disparity in Wisconsin is that it has the highest infant mortality rate for African Americans in the country. What should we realize about that? What are we going to do about it?
Great question. Yes, infant mortality, particularly Black infant mortality in Wisconsin, is very high. And one thing that's important to know is that one of the leading causes that is driving that number is complications of prematurity and low birth weight, Black babies being born too early and too soon. And some of the statistics even show that college-educated Black women have much higher adverse birth outcomes compared to white women who have not even completed high school. So we know that this is not just an issue with socioeconomic status. Also, there's studies that show that first generation African women that come to the United States, their birth outcomes are pretty similar to white women, but the longer that their generation line is here in the United States, that's when we see these adverse birth outcomes increase, and particularly infant mortality. So it's letting us know it's something going on about being a Black woman in America, and we know that there are impacts of racism that definitely play a role. So we need to approach this issue from many different directions. We need to be able to focus on social determinants of health that impact the woman, Black women across their entire lifespan.
Help us bring us in on this UW grant to pilot a community-based prenatal care model for Black women.
Yes. Are you referring to my research?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yes. So it's really important. One thing that we know is helpful for overall health and well-being is social connection, social connectivity. And the research that I'm doing is hearing the voice of Black women to say, what do you need to feel better connected to your communities, to one another? How can we create a safe space for you to heal from a lot of things that have gone on, particularly in the past year, but even before that? And so I'm doing some one-on-one interviews and focus groups with Black women here in Dane County, just talking about what would it look like to create a safe space. And we have piloted a once a month community support group for Black moms who are thinking of getting pregnant in the next year, currently pregnant, or who recently had a baby, as a safe space to talk with one another and get helpful information.
Thank you for sharing that. And Dr. Zapata, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. We are going to get through all of this together. It's been a rough year, but we're going to get through this next year together.
Dr. Jasmine Zapata is the new chief medical officer and state epidemiologist for community health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.